You have the freedom to express who you are here in this nation. Even if you want to walk around like a pterodactyl, you still have the freedom to do that. When you come into church, you have the freedom to sing. You have the freedom to lift your hands. You have the freedom to shout and dance. You have the freedom to do the things that God has called you to do. And he wants men everywhere to lift up holy hands. We have that freedom to do that. He's given us that. Amen? So don't ever feel discouraged like, man, I just don't know. Worship is something. I said praise and worship is something different. It's something different. It'll take you from here to here in just in a matter of minutes when you praise. So if you're feeling low, you didn't get your pick-me-up during worship. Hopefully this message will get you. But before we do that, we have a baby dedication. I get to dedicate my third grandchild, Nyla Dawn Nunnery. I remember when we were sitting at home, Kristen and I were sitting there, and I wanted, she goes, they haven't, I asked her, they haven't named the baby yet? She goes, no. I said, what if they name him after you? What if they name him Don or whatever? She goes, that's a dumb name. Nobody would name that. She didn't like her middle name. Kristen never liked her middle name. And then I think Isaiah texted and said, Nyla Dawn Nunnery. And she just started tearing up. I said, gotcha. There you go. Baby dedication is a biblical event that takes place in a newborn's life. Parents and loved ones are involved in this young person's life for as long as they live. They help to watch them, raise them up, discipline them, and speak into their lives so that they won't ever veer off course. When we dedicate our children to God, he provides three things through his word: protection, guidance, and anointing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus was dedicated in the temple. In Luke 2:22, it says, now when the days of her purification, according to the laws of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The way they should go is in a direction of what the word of God says. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. A child's salvation is not guaranteed through dedication, because we know children, when they grow up to be teens and adults, can stray away from God's protection by their own free will. But we believe God's word and action will not return to him void. So it's imperative that the parents stay connected to God in their own personal relationships so that they can train up their child in righteousness and in godliness. In today's culture, we have so many avenues of information that our children can get a hold of and begin to go astray. Parents, this is your responsibility to make sure the information they receive is godly, holy, and true. But always remember, you can't take your child where you haven't gone yourself. So before you teach and train your child, make sure you put into practice what you're ready to teach. So parents, if you would come on up. Now, as I say this pledge, you'll say, we do. You know the routine. In the sight of God and this congregation, do you understand the vows you are about to speak are binding before your Heavenly Father? Do you both promise to teach your child about Jesus early in her life and lead her to the Lord? Do you promise to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and see to it that she has godly friends that know and have personal relationship with Jesus? Will you instruct her in a way of holiness and live a life that may be a good example for her? Through these prayers and proclamations, we mark your child with the seal of the Holy Ghost. In Hebrews 11:28 says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. And Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and if he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man who the offense comes. Each child has an angel of protection. In Matthew 18:10, it says, take heed that do you not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see my face, see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And spiritual offspring of Abraham, and in Galatians 3:29, it says, and if you are of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we and our children are God's anointed and are not to be touched. In Chronicles 16:15, it says, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Children are seeds of righteousness who are in the care of the Almighty and living in the home of kings and priests of the Most High. We set a bounty on the head of any person or spirit who touches God's little one. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I dedicate Nyla Dawn Nunnery to you, Lord. And we thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. We thank you for her plans and purposes that you have for her. Lord, we thank you that she will fulfill them and walk them out in her life. And we just thank you for Isaiah and Carly, Lord, as they continue to raise up this church with the young generation patterned after you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. She gets to hang with me while I preach. Here you go. Here's your stuff. Mom made a new one for you. She did good. What's she? Oh, she's back there. All right, you young people, get to cracking. We need to fill our nurseries up. Y'all ready for the message? We listen to God Bless the USA. And one of those lines on there says, I am proud to be an American, right? We have been an American citizen ever since we were birthed into this nation. When you became born again, you became a citizen of heaven. We should be more prouder and more honest and more diligent in saying that we are citizens of God's kingdom. Because we're not going to go to, we're not going to spend eternity with God just because we're citizens of America. The Bible says if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. It says if we confess Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says we shall be saved. There's a condition. We have to confess that. If Noah's exempt from doing that, a relationship and believing in the King of Kings, it makes us overcomers in this world. That you are royalty in God's kingdom. That's what you should be proud of. Not just being an American. Thank God we live in the greatest nation ever. I would not want to live anywhere else. Trust me. I see how they cook their foods. Not good. We would tell people that we are fans or fanatics of some of the most pitiful sports teams on earth. How can anybody like the Buffalo Bills? We will go out of our way to say that we're proud to be an American. But I want to ask you today, are you unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul said, I'm not ashamed in Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We can talk about the latest Netflix series, but are you able to talk about Jesus without feeling weird and awkward? Well, if Jesus comes up in a conversation, do you just, I'm just pull back. Are you really happy to be a believer? Because there comes with a target on your back. Not just being an American, but being a born-again believer, you have a greater target on your back than ever. Church isn't about wearing t-shirts that point you to God. It isn't about the posts that you make on social media every week. It isn't about charitable donations that you give every week. We're thankful for that. But it's about being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living boldly for the King that has sacrificed his life so that you may have an abundant one. So that you will walk with the authority and power that he has left to the church. Paul said, I am not ashamed. He was adamant about that. That gives us purpose. That gives us life. You can't be ashamed of being a believer, being called a child of God. That's a great honor that we're able to walk in every single day. It is the power of God unto forgiveness of sins. It is the power of God unto healing. It is the power of God unto deliverance. It is the power of God unto safety. And if you believe that God has forgiven you of your sins, you can believe that God has delivered you from it. We'll walk around defeated all day long. Stop hanging around with people who are defeated, or if they are defeated, tell them about the good news of Jesus. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to feel that way. Our faith is not based upon our feelings and emotions. It's based upon the word of God because it'll never change. Some of you are waiting for God to deliver you from all fear and anxiety over the things that has come to take away your peace. Well, here's the good news. He already has. You need to start thinking on heavenly things. You know, the more and more you concentrate and focus on the problem, the bigger it gets in your own mind, and the smaller God gets in yours, in your heart. The doubt and unbelief that comes up, that's what's stopping people from actually receiving what God has given them, what they freely have access to by his grace through your faith, is unbelief. We have to learn to cast our cares upon him. Cast it and release it. Just as if you got a fishing line, just throw it all in there. Now, most fishermen were like, no, I need that pole. Give it back. Cast it. Release it. Don't reel it back, because if you reel it back, you're going to end up getting something bigger that's coming back at you. Cast it and release it. Cast your cares, all your anxiety on God. He's big enough. He can handle it. He wants you living a life worry-free. You do the same with your children. What makes you think that God doesn't want you that? Well, you got to have God is allowing. God allows what you allow. Cast it on him. Give it to him. Lord, we haven't had any rain. Now, we've had pretty good rain. But all I'm saying is, you don't have to have that conversation with him anymore. Lord, these are the crops you told me to plant. This is your harvest as well. We need rain. Send your rain now. It's yours. We don't ever think that because of what society. You realize that even Adam and Eve, they didn't even know how to die. They didn't have commercials to tell you how to get old. They didn't have any examples. It took them 900 and some years. And was, oh, am I dead yet? No. It wasn't like that. Nowadays, we get older. It's just like, oh, man. Where are we getting that from? We watch other people. I've watched videos. I've seen videos where little babies would copy their grandparents and stuff. They're walking around just doing this. And there's nothing wrong with the baby, but it's just who they're hanging around with. God has already healed you of what you need to heal you of. He's already healed you of what you need him to heal you of. He did that 2,000 years ago. But you have to use the measure of faith that he's given you. Faith takes the grace that he has provided. You are sitting and waiting on God, and he's sitting on and waiting on you to act according to his word and what you believe. If you confess with your heart the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The condition is you have to confess. The promise has already been made. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And that is one of the greatest miracles ever, salvation. So what makes you think the greatest miracle ever done is you being coming from the kingdom of darkness, being translated into the kingdom of light, that he isn't going to do this other little miracle in your life? It's already a done deal. Whatever you need, you just have to receive it. You got to take it. Now is not the time to get quiet about it. And I know the enemy likes to intimidate to the place that where you don't want to pray. You get in your mind. All that doubt and unbelief get you. Well, God is not. He's not going to answer your prayer. This isn't going to happen. You really think that you have access to that? You really think that he's going to answer your prayer? Do you really think? Wait a minute. You can just talk right back to him. Don't get offended. Don't get scared when people say I was talking to Satan. Jesus talked to Satan. And he used a word when it came to that. Why is he talking? I said, he's talking to Satan. And he's telling him where to go. All right. You know, sometimes anybody have pets? Have a dog, cat? Yeah. Do you call it? If it's out, you give a whistle, you call it. Why? Because you're trying to call those things that be not as though they are. You want your dog to come here now. Come here, boy. Come running, panting. Why? It belongs to you. Your pet belongs to you. Your healing belongs to you. You call it. It's mine. It's what is what has been made available to me. It's yours. Somebody else try to call your pet, it may not come. If they're trained right. Why? It doesn't belong to them. Your healing belongs to you. Your deliverance belongs to you. You have to call it out. You have to confess it and you have to believe it. I'm not going to call a dog because I don't like dogs. And I won't call your dog. I might drop kick him. No, I'm sorry. You have ownership of them. People, forgiveness is yours. Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. Salvation is yours. And if you call out their names and they didn't come, you go outside and you look for them. It should be here. Angels, bring it to me now. It's mine. It's what's provided for me. I don't normally carry cash. But some of y'all notice, you've seen this demonstrated many a times. Who wants this? $10. Who wants it? Who wants it? There you go. Good job. That's yours. See, she started and then she stopped. And this is what we do. I don't know if God wants me to have this. I don't know if it's his will for me to have this, his purpose. So we don't even pray. Why? Because religion told us it's not for us. We just stop. We don't even pray with confidence. If she would have took that first step and came on up and received it, it's hers. Why? Because faith takes what God's grace has provided. Who wants it? Another 10. This for you. We're going to see who's going to fight over it. There you go. I would assume everyone else is blessed. But it's yours. Faith will take it, and we're waiting for God. I know God can do it. I know God will do it. I know He can. I know He can. I know He can. Here's the thing. He has. And there's people who is walking in that every single day, but yet we're still not confident enough to know that He's already done it. Faith takes. Second Peter 1 says this, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. And as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Everything you need in life, God has already done it for you. You need a new body part, spare part, new kidneys, He's provided for you. You need a new heart, He's provided it for you. You need more hair, I need more hair, Lord, He's provided it for me. Everything. We'll come in here like it's just doom and gloom, man. He's provided it. Peace. Favor. You need it in your life. Some of you are ready to quit. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare quit. Why? Because it's already there. Faith takes. You're waiting for God to do something. He's already done it 2,000 years ago. That's how He solved it. That's how He completed it. And all He said, and then Jesus says it is finished. And now all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts. Jesus did the hard work. We get to do the easy work. But we have to weed out all that doubt and unbelief. Oh, that's not true. It did. So-and-so tried to do it over there and it didn't happen. Well, that's so-and-so. So-and-so may not have been in faith. But they're the most godly person ever. Are they? The Bible says death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. You don't know what so-and-so have been saying and confessing. Try it out. Never place your faith in what God has done for you on someone else's walk. It's on Jesus's walk. He's the standard. I'm not the standard. My wife, she's not the standard. Matt is not the standard. Richard is not the standard. No one else in here is the standard. Jesus is the standard. We follow and watch Him. He's the standard because He's perfect and He fulfilled the law and rubbed it in their faces. And He did it extravagantly because those Pharisees were ticked. He did it the right way, the righteous way. He's the standard. How He did it, you do it. We can't get upset with what God is doing in other people's lives and not in ours. He provided it for us as well, but it's according to the knowledge that we have. According to the knowledge that we have. What you fail to know about Jesus and what He's done for you is keeping you stuck spiritually. You have to grow in your knowledge. You have to know God more. You got to spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. If you don't know it, you won't ever proclaim it. You won't ever profess it. Jairus, when he heard these stories about Jesus and who He is and how He was a healer. Can you come and heal my daughter? How would anybody know that He's a healer if He hasn't been going out healing and if He hasn't listened to those stories? How would anyone know that you're a Christian, not just your t-shirt? If you're a person of prayer, if you're a person that actually hears from the Lord, how would they know it if your lifestyle wasn't demonstrating that? I'm going to go to so-and-so. Why? Because they know how to pray. I'm going to get an agreement with this person over here. Why? Because they know how to pray. I need to learn how to pray, but they know how to pray. This is what you can say. because you know certain people. People go to churches. They go to the leaderships. They go to people within the church, that those prayer warriors. They go there because they know they get results. If you know me, I don't like to waste time with all the fluff. I'm not going to go to 30 different people. I'm going to go to God first. And if he sends me to someone else, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get an agreement. Let's cut this mess out. Why? Because I need to hear from them. People need answers. I may not know everything, but I definitely am going to go to God, who knows all things. And he can show it and show you that if you just ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. You don't have, Pastor, do you know everything? No, I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. But it's crazy to think I don't know anything. I know some things. But I know what I learn through his word. You know what you know because you learned it. We will spend time catching up on current events, but what the Father wants us doing is spending more time with him. Our peace will grow when we do. We live in a nation where we can freely preach the gospel without laws that forbade us. But the gospel isn't just a forgiveness of sins. Jesus died so that we would be delivered from this present day of evil. In 2 Peter 1, it says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm reminded of the sign when you go east. If you go east, there's a big old shed out there, gray shed, metal shed, and it has black lettering on it. N-O, no God, no peace. K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. The more and more you know about God, the more peaceful you're going to be. But if you don't know God, it's going to be chaos in your life all day long. No God, no peace. But no God, no peace. When you know who the Father is, you're going to have peace. Doesn't matter what comes your way. You're going to have peace. You can have peace in the midst of all the chaos that is coming against you because you know who the Father is. And Peter didn't just say grace and peace to you. He said grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's part of that abundant life. It isn't just, here's a little peace. Peace of what? This is multiplied peace, that overflow, that abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. Jesus says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be experiencing heaven here on earth. Man is not your problem. The man is not your problem. We are the problem. Our mouths are the problem. Our belief system, the unbelief that's in our life is the problem. Can nobody stop you from doing what God wants you to do? No one. You stop yourself. We can put the blame on every person out there in the world, but guess what? It ain't their fault. They're just on the wrong team. You're on Team Jesus. So you're going to roll with the greater one. So you can laugh at the trouble that they try to bring. Doesn't matter. Because you belong to Jesus. They're just on the wrong side. No one can stop you. You realize that? Well, they're doing this, they're doing that. So what? They can't stop you. You'll stop yourself. They just want to get you stuck. They want to get you distracted and your eyes and your focus off of God. They don't want you spending time in prayer. You realize that when people launch spiritual attacks on you, you'll start sleeping a whole lot more. You'll be getting drowsier and you don't want to read. You won't want to pray. You want all this disruption is going on in your life and in your marriage and in your family and all this other things when they're sending spiritual attacks against you. Why? They don't want you going to God because they know your greatest advocate, the Holy Spirit, will help you in your time of need. And you'll overcome it. So they'll send people to come against you, demons to come against you in every which way to stop you from actually believing and flowing in what the Word of God says about you. thoughts. The biggest battle is where? Right between the ears. I've had friends that talked themselves out of being. They were really good athletes, but somebody else talked them out of it. And they just plateaued after their freshman year. They could have been really, really great, but they allow those words to get in there. You can't allow that. That doesn't stop just because you're out of high school and college. That keeps on keeping on throughout your whole entire life. You're not supposed to be with this individual here. You're not supposed to be getting that raise. You don't really need that raise. That just means more responsibility. Why would you want that? Man, you have the freedom to go and do. You don't have to worry about anything. But see, God wants you in that position because he needs godly people in that place to be able to run it so that he can get the glory out of it. And you've talked yourself out of, there's no way I can run this. What? You can talk yourself out of God's will for your life every single day if you listen to the wrong people. You listen to the wrong voices. If you ever wonder where that thought come from, and it's about you taking over something in a righteous way, know that that came from God. If it's in your spirit, know that came from him. And just pray on it. The enemy doesn't want you doing that type of stuff. He doesn't want you leveling up. And if he levels up, if you try to level up, he's going to push you into it when you're not ready. But we can't blame the man. The man ain't our problem. We live in a great nation. God wants to fellowship with you. And the more you know about him, the more you will grow in the knowledge of him and who he truly is. We don't have to long after the things of this world because of what God has given us. Those things should be an afterthought. God's word is what helps us to be able to partake of his divine nature. No, that doesn't mean I'm God myself. God. Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. We are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. The peacemakers are the sons of God. I don't like peacemakers. We should all strive to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. I say there's troublemakers, peacemakers, and peacekeepers. Peacekeepers don't want any trouble. They don't want to confront anything. But they will send the troublemakers to go and confront what they should be confronting. Peacekeepers and troublemakers will team up. Troublemakers are always just causing problems. That's what they do. They're the problem child. The devil. They're crazy. But the peacemakers want peace, but they're not afraid to confront the troublemakers. Jesus was a peacemaker. He wasn't afraid to confront the Pharisees. The apostles, and these were peacemakers. You got to be able to confront evil when it's at your doorstep, when it's in your home. You have to be able to. Some people don't want you to. They want you to be passive. You're not passive believers. You're peacemakers. Peacemakers will confront with the word of God. When the enemy is looking at them dead in the face and saying these things or what have you, you go to the word and you proclaim the word over your life. And you make no apologies about it. Peacemakers. Be a peacemaker. All right. The word says in Hosea 4:6, says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Everything you need in life was given to you at your new birth. When you became born again, healing was given to you. And it's not for just that moment that you needed it in 1980. There's not a coupon that you have that expires, that you were able to use this healing for in 1980, and then you can't use it anymore, it expired. You already used it once, punch that in, it's available to you all day, every day. Why? By faith. God has given you the measure of faith. Every person, every born-again believer has the measure of faith. That measure of faith was what was created, what was used to create this world. That the measure of faith was that the faith that caused that tree to shrivel up, that fig tree to shrivel up and die. When Jesus says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that faith, That faith in order to raise Lazarus from the dead. That faith. That faith in order to cast those seven demons out. That faith. That faith to heal Jairus' daughter. That faith. That's in you. You've been given that measure. Get the unbelief out and start flowing in it. Get it out. Get it out. Unbelief, leave in the name of Jesus. Be more bold in who you are in Christ. Be proud to be a born-again believer. How about that? Some people can't even pray over their food in public because they don't want to scare people off. How about, hey, we getting ready to pray. Everybody pray over their meal yet? Be bold with it. That's just weird. I know. Jesus was weird. He was able to quiet a storm. Who ever heard of that? How can you quiet the waves in a storm? How can you answer back a tree? Didn't even say anything, or did it? We serve an extraordinary God. He even told the prophet Ezekiel, hey, prophesy to these dry bones. A field filled with bones. And all of a sudden, flesh starts coming up on them. Blood in the veins and stuff. Can you imagine that picture? We serve a God that can't fail. But yet we acting like we're failures and losers and people, well, there's nothing wrong with failing. There is something wrong. There is something wrong with losing. There is something wrong with failing. That just means you're human. One third of you is the Holy Ghost. Use it. And that's what we're instructed to walk in. The Spirit, not the flesh, not the mind, the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. Then there is no law against you. So God is pointing us towards being dominant on this earth. But we want to do what our flesh wants us to do. I see why you're losing. That's just plain and simple. Well, I don't want to follow his instructions. I see why. I see why we're having a hard time. I see why we don't want to do. Why? Because there are conditions to these promises. And we don't want to do them. If my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That if my people, we had a president that dedicated this nation back to God, but we have to turn. We have to turn. We have to turn. We can't keep covering up what God has seen and what he knows. We have to turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. That's a promise that he's going to fulfill when we do it. And we have to do it in our own personal lives. And what most people end up doing is point fingers at everyone else. That's not what he told us to do. Humble ourselves. Don't humble someone else. That's humiliation. Humble yourself. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Quit allowing the enemy to stop you from receiving what God has done for you. Dominate. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and confess and believe in your heart and start using your faith with God's grace. You will never know what you're capable of until you read his word. Faith takes what God has already done. Don't have any more money. Faith takes. Faith takes. Take it. Take it. There's no time as well. The office is open 24/7, 365. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning. Take it. You know, if you get a prescription and it tells you to take 4 times a day, every 2 hours, you're going to take it. You can't complain. Doctors go, you been taking your medicine?
Well, no.
Take your medicine. If they're good doctors, they'll tell you, hey, you got to take it. It ain't going to work unless you take it. It helps age your body. How come you're not taking it?
I don't know, doc. I just like coming in.
Take your medicine. Take your medicine. His word is health into all of our flesh. Take your medicine. Here it is, right here. Take it daily. 6 times a day, 7 times a day. That's a better number. 7 times a day, take your medicine. Every single day. It's yours. It's available to you every single day. Take your medicine and stop allowing people to make you feel weird because you read the Bible. Stop allowing people and the enemy to get you into doubt and unbelief because they don't want it to work in your life. They're in secret competition with you. Who cares if they're in competition? You're not in it to compete against other people. You're here to dominate the kingdom of darkness and keep the enemy under your feet. There's a greater purpose than trying to keep up with your neighbor mowing their lawn. That is not why the King of Kings is in your life. That is not why we serve a good God. Because they paint their house, now you got to paint yours. There's a greater purpose. I got a neighbor suffering some stomach problems and things of that nature. His health has been weak and deteriorating, and I was out there mowing. Of course, my wife already had told me, you need to go over there and pray for him. No, I didn't do that. But I stopped after I got done, stopped and went over there. And I just asked him, I said, do you know Jesus? He goes, yeah, I do. I said, and I just shared the gospel with him. And we speak healing into his body. We got an agreement. 1,000 will send one will send 1,000 in a flight and 2 will send 10,000. Let's get an agreement. I believe. I speak it. And if something else comes up and that's different, that's not what I believe for. We're going at it again. Lord, your word says this right here. And I did this by faith in your grace for him in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in that body. And if you're needing healing in your body right now, here's the thing. Take your medicine. Take it daily. Profess it over your life. Confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's not that hard. Jesus did the hard work. This is the easy work. We just have to get to the place to where we do it. God isn't going to do it. He's already done it. So whatever you're going through, back pain, lower back pain, I'm hearing that a lot. I'm hearing that a lot in people, especially in ministers. They're up all the time walking and doing all this stuff. Get some tennis shoes on. I don't know about you. I have some shoes that I have that they're really nice and they're comfortable, but being in them all day long, my back will start hurting. Get some tennis shoes on. Wear some Jordans. He got the money. But we speak healing in that back right now, in all of those backs right now. In the name of Jesus, and we command them to be straightened up. We thank you for strength in their backs. And here's the thing, the Lord said, stretch it too. Stretch it. Stretch your back out. You're not 20 anymore. You got to stretch. When I was 15, 16, I would just go out to the park and just play and just, I wouldn't even stretch because it'd be nice and hot, 88 degrees out there in California, get the breeze from the ocean coming in. I don't have to stretch. Just go out there and play. Nowadays, I just got to think about jumping. Let me stretch. Stretch it out. People got kidney problems. We speak to kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. Liver issues. Speak to them right now. Right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Tell them, Nyla. But everything God has done for you, he's already provided. Your faith accesses the grace of God. Well, God doesn't want me to have it. That's religion telling you that. That's the enemy telling you that. That's not God. He's not saying, no, you can't have it. He's already provided for you. He would have to apologize to Jesus for it. It's already yours. Deliverance is already yours. Whatever you need in the Lord for, receive it right now in the name of Jesus. You got to confess it. You can't get quiet. I'm not going to let you get quiet. You're going to have to say it. Lord, I receive this. I thank you for it. Get bold with it. Get bold with your prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, get one. We need men to step up. I see the women stepping up, but we need men to step up. Get bold with it. You're the leaders of your household. Get bold with it. Be okay. It was hard for me, difficult for me to pray in front of Kristen when we first got married. And one of the things that helped me when we had these prayer circles years ago, Marietta was in our group because we would always be a part of the worship team and stuff. And it helped me to kind of come out of my shell a little bit, to get comfortable praying around people. I was always worried about saying the wrong thing. You know, when you fill yourself up with the word of God, that's what's going to come out. When you're praying. When you're mad at somebody, something else may come out, but I don't know. That ain't my fault. But you pray. Be men of prayer. We have to be a church that is filled with prayer. That is going after God with so much vigor. It's like, man, we just want to be in the presence of God and just pray and just pray and just lift up the name of Jesus. Sometimes you're going to have to get yourself to the place to where it says, self, we need to bless him. His word says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You got to get yourself to the place to where you bless the Lord. Father, you are a good Father. You are a magnificent Father. You are a holy God. You are untouchable. You can't be afraid to say that. If you're afraid to say that to your Heavenly Father who has redeemed you, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect. Get this fixed first. Your relationship with him is first and foremost in your life. Get it fixed. Then we can become a great nation again. Then we can do what's right by his word and his righteousness, not ours. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. And Lord, we thank you that you are the King of Kings. Lord, we just honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you with our voices. We honor you with our hearts. We don't want to be the ones where they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. No, our hearts are right here, Lord. They're for you. We just love everything you have done for us. And we receive those things right now by faith in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for the boldness that is in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.